Independent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours this evening. I did have a scheduled guest, however, I've decided to move forward and continue some of the teaching that we've been following over the past couple of weeks. I've had some requests to address an issue regarding spiritual teachings that have come through, spiritual messages, and some of this is very directly related, I should say absolutely related to some publications that go back a number of years, and they have to do with the entity, spiritual entity, known as, in Christianity, as Jesus Christ. And this is a very controversial document that was, let's say, dictated and transcribed a number of years ago. It appeared in the Phoenix, which had quite a bit of interesting, and I mean very, very extensive and very interesting information from a spiritual dimension. And I was asked by a few of the listening audience and also folks that have visited my website to expound upon the issue of the return of Christ and my feelings about the topic of the rapture and how I see Christ coming back, or how I see mankind being saved from the dilemma we're currently in. With all these things that are happening very, very rapidly, it's obvious that the truth has been hidden from us on a number of issues. I take great issue with much of the Bible, the Holy Bible, being missing or having been edited or re-translated. And edited is a good enough word, because King James Version obviously favors King James and puts the followers of Christ in a backseat position. In other words, we have to have a middleman to get to God. And this is quite the opposite of what I have been sharing from a spiritual perspective. Now, I'm not saying Christ is not real. In fact, he was very real. The name given to him by the biblical scholars, and I use that word with reservation because many of the people that transcribed the sacred texts were told what to do, or they merely transcribed the texts and then they had someone else go in and edit out the portions that would empower the average human or the average human being and put that in the favor of the ruling class. In particular, In terms of King James, we're talking about a king that was very uptight about people knowing the truth and achieving a higher consciousness, a higher vibration. Things didn't work that way. The king was that. He was the king, and everyone was to worship the king. And if he was going to acknowledge Christ, he was not going to acknowledge Christ's teachings about the higher gifts of the Spirit, which would give one discernment and one could figure out what was going on in the king's world. King James himself was a homosexual, historians have brought this out. So I'm sharing what I've learned from studying the research of others, and I'm inclined to agree with it. It makes a lot of sense when you look at the fact that the Bible is missing big chunks of information. Whole books are taken out. Words are retranslated to mean something other than what they originally were intended to mean. And we see this when we read the Greek or the Hebrew texts. And so it makes it difficult to interpret exactly who is being described in prophecy. The book of Revelation is a perfect example when one must guess who is being talked about as the beast, as the Antichrist. Today we find that even biblical scholars are guessing at which politician that might be, or which religious leader, or maybe somebody that hasn't even appeared on the scene yet. There are names that come up. In England, you have Benjamin Cream promoting an individual who goes by the name Maitreya. And of course, you can take anyone and teach them the highest truths in all the religions, and they can bring about this amalgamation or this mixture of messages that ring true and promote peace and abundance and all the things that create fear when they're lacking. And you can see that there may be something more to the messenger in that case. Benjamin Cream himself is very controversial and associated with many of the secret societies. And that one person would be in charge of the grooming of someone who is eventually or purported to become a prophet should raise some questions. If you use your discernment, it's quite possible that you might agree with many others that say, well, this has all the appearance of possibly an antichrist, not a messiah. Yet these individuals are being presented to us as if they're saviors. Of course, man feeling that he needs a savior is missing the point, in that we have God within us, and if we only tap into that godliness that the Creator gave us, we could see that. We all have that quality within us, although in many it's in a dormant state. Yet all of us have seen people who seem to be rather enlightened and are able to help others with healing and with solving of problems and bringing peace and a higher consciousness to everyone. And we read their books and we go hear them speak. And some actually are able to go study in person with such individuals, and they're all over the world. And yet the masses are following the same plan. And when we look at the specifics, which we will in a moment, we can see that there's discord amongst the so-called believers in every religion, that when you break the groups, the congregations, into smaller parts, there's dissension, there's disagreement as to the true doctrine of Christianity or Islam or Buddhism or whatever the religion should happen to be. And as a result, it's nothing more than a continuation of the same chaos that we have in politics or in education or in science. These are all the methods to divide and conquer the people and the consciousness of the people, keeping people preoccupied with the lesser or the lower vibrational issues of existence, identifying with the ego, identifying with the false self, and accepting the lies that were given through the propagandized media and all the other means of disseminating information that keep us from knowing our true selves, getting us to buy into these images instead of seeing the reality. They're even calling the images in the shows, as I mentioned many, many times, reality shows. So on this November the 24th on the West Coast, or the 25th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, a couple of days before Thanksgiving, we're going to be talking about this issue. And I did some reading. I was asked specifically by some of the listening audience and some visitors to my website about my feelings about someone who is purported to be Jesus returned, or as we know in mainstream Christianity, Jesus Christ, the teachings that come through many other sources describe his name as Emmanuel, and also Esau Emmanuel, and more recently, Esau Jesus, or Jesus, some would say, Sananda. Now, that's going to upset a lot of people who are fixed in a belief system that they've been following quite a long time, and I ask you just to consider this possibility. When you hear the truth in these words, and you will feel some truth from what I'm going to read. I'm going to share some things with you, because to just describe what's in the document doesn't do it justice. It's quite fascinating how this information aligns with some other books that have been out for a number of years, and one could wonder if this information wasn't just copied, but I have to say that it's delivered in a very authoritative way. It's delivered in a unique way, in that it's describing the same events or the same circumstances, and yet the language and the delivery and the message is quite unique, even though it mirrors other accounts. And so it would be like those of you who have read a book or seen a movie and you hear someone telling a story that parallels what you've just experienced through reading that book or watching that movie, presuming that they were both accurate or that they mirrored each other. Now, the interesting and fascinating fact about this information, it was published a number of years ago after what was called the harmonic convergence. This information came out, and it gives an account of when the entity or the soul that we know as the Son of God or Jesus Christ returned to the earth to begin his work. And I just ask that you keep an open mind. I'm not asking anyone to believe this whatsoever, but have a listen and see if some of this doesn't ring true. Now, I could go through quite a bit of this document, but I am going to read from the beginning, and I'm going to try not to go off on tangents and describe anything until I've concluded a major portion of this. This is quite revealing, and again, I stress that it adheres to some other treatments that I have read, and it allows for an expansion of consciousness. Actually, this information is going to even make sense in terms of what we know is going on today. Now, this was recorded and then transcribed on August the 6th, 1989 at 9 a.m. This is referred to as year 2, day 355, meaning the second year that this information was known. I am here, Dharma, in the light of Atone. By the way, Atone is another name for God. I am Sananda, to be referred to in these upcoming writings as Emmanuel. To have this information makes it most critical that care be taken, for the scribe will be in utmost jeopardy of life itself. My utmost appreciation and respect goes to the pioneers who dared put these truths to paper and have since been either assassinated, murdered, or terribly persecuted. The information will follow the scrolls of record making by my beloved friend, Judas Iscariot, who was always faithful and true and scribed those things brought forth in his attention and by historical data presented by spirit forms. Patale and Arahat Atharsata, unto one on your place, to remain nameless on this particular date of writing, for the protection of him and his family. The receiver of the scrolls has long since been murdered, along with his entire family. This will now be put to paper in thy language, so that when the time is appropriate, ye shall already have it into print. We will print unto you proof, and then man will need of this information immediately. Great gratitude goes forth unto those blessed ones of Pleiades who faithfully gave unto Earth Friend the explanations, translations, and protection of the scrolls themselves. I give open dedication to Svath, Asket, Semjase, and Ptah and their crews who risked thy atmosphere and hostilities for lo, these years to bring truth forth unto ye awakening ones of earth. When protection is assured, I shall dedicate a section in the book of life unto the one on your place who dared. So be it. I further give unlimited praise and gratitude to this little scribe who dared to speak the truth within the viper pit. Many of mine words will be familiar to the original publisher of these truths, but he will forgive my own interpretations, for these truths cannot be kept hidden within archives, for the time is at hand in which only truth shall allow of Earth man to endure and ultimately survive. Many of the writings will have already been presented to mine circle of friends in and through brethren in Tejas shape, and that they may have been incorporated into lessons by myself, that they might begin to understand the magnitude of the truth as it disputes that which is printed so unrestrained about thy planet. When I make comment about white races, I take no exception to color as such that you recognize. It is a definition of which you of Earth can relate in description. Ye of Earth will grow above thy bigotry, or ye shall not function within the outer universe. Within the orderly functioning of the cosmos, there is not allowed for bigotry. Ye are of different colors simply because ye are experiencing in different color format, no more and no less. Firstly, I will give you some historical data regarding this information and some more current attitudes. Leaders, especially the so-called church cults, will be troubled. However, ye cannot decipher thy holy books because they are unreasonable and filled with misinformation. What I shall bring unto thee is not only truth, it is most sensible. You ones will stop placing limits upon God, or ye shall perish in thy ignorance and foolishness. There is no worse self-penalty than that of leading thy brother into foolishness, which costs him his life. The document to follow is translated from scrolls, which were brought forth in Thy Year 1900 plus 63 by a Catholic priest of Greek heritage. The writings were recorded mostly at my side. The scrolls were preserved as well as possible at that time and hidden beneath flat stones within the tomb in which I was placed. The priest will remain without name and protection of any heirs remaining from his household lineage. These daring few are not of the United States of America, and families are even more in jeopardy in the part of the world in which they resided or now reside. He requested security and secrecy at the time of bringing them forth, and we shall continue to honor that request until such time is in safety. Judas Iscariot was a beloved disciple of myself. He has been falsely deprecated as the betrayer of myself for these 2,000 years, although this precious one was not connected in any way with the betrayal. The heinous deed of betrayal was actually executed by one of the house of Ihariath, Judah. The still reigning Orthodox and conservative clergy and their misled followers may well try to deny, destroy, and accuse as untrue the text which will be presented with all possible means, just as they have with many other documents which testify to the actual truth, reference to the books of Henoch and Jezirah, etc. Never heard of them? Of course ye have not, but if ye dig, ye shall find of them, for they have been purposely preserved in duplication, for the originals have been destroyed, that you never hear of them. These aforementioned books were originally placed within the covers of the Holy Bible, of which ye daily, then removed intentionally, for they were too truthful. This was done intentionally to preserve the threatened, misleading, false teachings as presented by Earth Doctrine Hierarchy. Every effort will be put forth to pull this document from publication and circulation. Newsflash, it will not work this time. Pressure has been placed upon the first editor of the text from many facets, and he has been persecuted and fears assassination fulfillment as three major attempts at such in the year 1975 were almost successful. This even with witnesses present. Steps are long underway by police, authorities, prosecutors, judges, and courts, as well as a media defamation of character on a wide-scale basis to destroy this material. Of course, it cannot succeed in nor harm the truth of the text in one iota. The cunning agents charged with this assignment shall most certainly proceed with utmost caution and skill and with much intrigue in order that the text will be denounced, regarded as a lie, and destroyed, as was the case after the publication of other texts. The original, however, were and are included in the Vatican's library in Rome. So be it. Ye have just had the Shroud of Turin rejected as untruth. Ah, so? It was in the same tomb within which the scrolls herein written were also preserved and presented at one and the same time. Now, how do you think those things got there in the first place and found after almost 2,000 years? Because ye are moving into the final stages of thy revelations prophecies. The world will come into truth, friends. The world will come into truth. Fanatics of religious cults and other misled individuals shall cry murder and use all means at their disposal to fight the existence of the texts and against the ones who bring this information forth. But, as ye know, it has been thus all along, without hesitation, to murder or defame any in protection of self-lies and control of other humans. It has even been this way on thy placement. What of the Christian Inquisition, this ordered by the Holy Vatican Chair, in order to realize how, for instance, the Holy Office or the Holy Chair in Rome and the Pope proceeds in order to build up the false cult religion, Christendom, or to save it? By order of the Holy Chair, in Europe, the recorded murders ordered by the Holy Chair totaled over 9 million during the time of the Inquisition alone. The unrecorded number of murders by thy own earth records and historical libraries is speculated to be another 9 million. Would you guess that perhaps the greatest antichrist on thy placement might be the Christians? The German Holocaust pales by comparison, does it not? Is it in any wonder that the records which would be placed within thy holy books would be most carefully translated into lies in support of the ones in power? One of my beloved friends and followers have been thusly recorded incorrectly and their own truth butchered and stolen. They have come back, brethren, to set it to rights. So be it, Peter, Socrates, Akhenaten, Mr. Bacon. So be it. This time, Oberly, ye shall put it off. Blessed scribe in Galilee and long before. Ye shall each be shown thy placement, for I honor thee ones, but time does not permit at this sitting. This translation proves without any doubt that the false teachings of the doctrine cult religions are completely without truth, and that they are the irresponsible machinations of creatures without scruples who were partially hired by the Holy Chair, or perhaps were ignorant, and as the religious groupings broke away because of the false teachings and persecution, had no truth upon which to base the new. I'm not going to dwell in what would be called the Old Testament at this scribing in any great detail, for thy truth of more recent history is that which affects you most critically at this cycle of transition and revelation. We shall get into the creation and things of that nature at another writing. In my name, these ones were, throughout thousands of years, without thought or scruples, and shed human blood through murdering people in the counted millions. Is this justice from a just God? We shall see. Worse, however, the successors of these murderous and unscrupulous creatures created throughout the centuries and millennia a mighty power of cult religion which is able to rule the entire world. In the course of past millennia, the cult religions brutally fought their way up through bloody and bestial murders to the most influential powers of the earth, to which even the brutal and dictatorial governments bow, even thy leaders who are not of the faith. They are even asked to intercede in behalf of ones to the leaders who disclaim Christianity. Does this not tell thee truth? This is the most putrid cover of the most influential power in the name of a false and deceptive love which, literally speaking, walks over dead bodies without thought or compunction, devoid of conscience. Backed by the false teaching and altered concepts of the New Testament, the Christian cult religion maneuvered itself into the politics of all countries. It does not even shy away from the entering the most intimate family life of people, even intruding into the bed of the married couple in order to attack the last and most private secret of man, and pull it down in the cult religion's filthiness of the so-called church, and thus destroy any and everything of human personal value. Finally, the time is at hand, brethren, that these squalid operations may be terminated when man is reasonable enough, awakens his senses, reforms his thinking, and dedicates himself to the real teachings I brought forth to a most sick in the world even 2,000 years ago. Though all those people who stick obstinately to the deceptive insanity of cult religions and are therefore no longer able to think normally, with any sense of reason, and defy doing so and protest against it, their battle of madness will be in vain, for truth will be stronger than all cult religion's insanity and any prurient lie, even if the lie has been around to now for millennia. This lie will now be uncovered and destroyed, even if the lie and all its adherents and champions protest against it with all their might and resources. Truth will finally triumph, even if the victory is won at a very high price, as it is written in the text, which says that the truth shall call forth a worldwide catastrophe. But the truth is needed and can therefore no longer be kept quiet. A catastrophe will be understandable if one considers that the cult religions have become exceedingly powerful, by which power they have so far been able to suppress all truths directed against them through all kinds of murderous and nasty means, and shall try this again now, and again they will not refrain from murder, as this was consistently the case in the past. For this reason, the scribes of these texts tempted and, as with this one, successfully so. Remember, however, ye now work for or against God, and this one has been in resuscitation on three occasions. The evil forces are now working directly against me, and I shall prevail, for I am one with God, and I am come forth to reclaim that which is the Father's. I hereby again place the opposing forces on notice. I am returned in mine full inheritance, and ye shall not prevail. Mine people shall be set into freedom, and ye of Satan and persecutors shall be cast down into the infinite void. So be it, for I have spoken it. Thusly, and so it is written. So shall it come to pass in this thy generation and thy counting of time near. From all this, the earth man will finally see what truth is, and recognize the lie perpetrated against his very soul life. It is only through the truth that mankind can assert his force and power over man, enslaving him in every respect. Let it be noted here, for those of you who think ye are safe and will sort of note this, and let Dharma or Sister or Little Crow or BM or K. Copeland or any other take the load. Forget it, brothers. For this was your commitment, and I would not like to stand at thy judgment, which I most surely shall. Having given these scribes into thy adversary's clutches, this is why there are no gray areas. Ye are either with me or against me. If ye are sort of, then ye are deadly for the use of the dark forces. I hope I have made it very clear that casual believers and adherents of the real teaching of myself, Emmanuel, Jesus Christos, Isa, Sa, or Asa, Emmanuel, Sananda, etc., etc., are threatened also. However, these ones who scribe are placed in double jeopardy and endangered from two factors. These ones are also direct contacts between the earth and extraterrestrial forms of knowledge and very highly developed forms of spirit of higher levels who transmit to them unadulterated, directly, mouth to ear, and in total truth. The lies will be uncovered and brought into light that the masses can witness unto truth, for proof shall accompany the messages, and this will begin in full measure in thy very short future in thy clock segments. I will hereby give unlabeled deference and homage unto the one who first brought forth the original translation, old Aramaic scripting, and severed his relationship with the cult church. He struggled to live unrecognized with his family. He, being aware of the enormous power of the cult religions, requested his name be withheld from the public as well as from the scripts themselves, that he might protect his family members. He rightfully feared for his life and that of his dear family, who meanwhile all became victims of the religious persecutors and were assassinated to the last member which could be located. So be it. Heed well these words. These publications will not come forth from this location, but will be put to book format elsewhere, that the scribe be protected. In the year 1963, the original translator of the original scrolls of the forthcoming text was taken to mine actual tomb, where he was shown and given confirmation and items of proof. Portions of the scrolls were illegible or disintegrated. Also, several pages were missing. Nevertheless, the portion that is still evident and in existence is a stirring testimony to the fact that truth is not that which ye have been fed, but in fact, the most massive web of lies ever imagined has been cast upon you ones. It is rare, indeed, that individuals succeed in bringing public themes and truths which clarify original meanings, or even barely elucidate same, when great political, religious, cults, or military issues are under discussion. Previous experience on your place proves that generally those people are persecuted, tortured, and murdered because in each case enemy forces appear and are given the assignment to not only represent the truthfulness of a statement, but with any means possible or available, make themselves a mockery of the truth that it is, that it be discounted. Remember, Satan most often comes in the sheep's cloth to kill the lambs, and he also comes forth proclaiming himself the Prince of Light. False prophets, O ye blind lambs waiting thy slaughter, I beg and petition that ye open of thine eyes and ears, that ye see and hear. I shall not mince of mine words with thee, for ye are in most critical and serious times and circumstance. Thy planet is ready to blow apart in the hands of the evil ones. Can you not see of it falling all about thee? Man takes the discounting even farther in every case to date. The texts are banned, taken out of circulation with the help of pastors, the police, authorities, courts, and those in power. Thy writers are usually incarcerated on any false accusation remotely conjured forth, and assassinations are often carried out in the very presence of the prison officials. Further, texts of truth are safeguarded in hidden archives or blatantly destroyed to further withhold from the people of the earth the truthful reality and to continue to let them suffer the consequence of their erroneous thinking and their false teaching, and to let them starve and decay in misery, because only in this manner can man be exploited to the last drop of his blood, most especially by the governments and cult religions. It shall not be thus again. The time of truth upon earth has arrived. Ye ones shall be in the choosing of thy truth, for the ending of a cycle and a forthcoming transition is at hand. The fulfilling of the prophecies are all but to the final chapter. Ye ones are in thy final days. So be it, and I place mine seal of truth upon these words. I am one with God. I am the Christ who is returned unto you ones to reclaim mine people and my Father's kingdom. I have prepared a place for you, and the plan of the transition is laid in perfection. I plead with you to hear mine call. I am that I am. I am Esau Jesus Sananda. I am the Lord thy God, manifest and incarnate. Do ye know who ye might be? One with God and the creation. I am, and ye can be as I am. Go forth for a respite, Dharma. Ye do not stand alone, for I stand afore thee, and that is assuredly that I stand between thee and any enemy who will come unto thy spaces. Blessing upon thee and thy brethren who share of thy task and commitment, for great will be their glory and reward in these coming days of fulfillment. Ye shall be given to be the lighthouse and wayshower to a failing, sickened people. Yours is to be reflected in abundance and integrity, even in thy physical perception on this place in thy time. Go in peace, child, for we will begin the penning shortly. This is but mine introduction. Wow, heavy. very heavy. Now, I am certain that there are already those that are wrestling with what they've been taught, and I've heard not one word to discount the reality of the individual that we know historically as Jesus Christ. Quite to the contrary, there's quite a bit more information that has come through, and it all rings true, and perfectly describes what's going on today in 2008, despite the fact that this came through, this message, in 1975. And I ask the listening audience, all of you, to consider that Jesus, as we know him, or Emmanuel, Esau Emmanuel, upon his resurrection, had further business to do, and it's quite possible that he has visited every planet, at least in our Milky Way galaxy. It's been purported that there are at least 180 billion and as many as a trillion planets just in our galaxy alone. So he would have had quite a bit of work to perform, if that is true. We're going to take a short pause, and we'll be back in a couple of moments. Don't go away. You're listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio.
A monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
Welcome back to Evident Footprints. I'm Don Nikoloff, and I'm going to continue now with what is called Chapter 1 of actually the second journal from the Phoenix Journal. This document was transmitted in, I may have misspoke before, I should have said 1989. However, this was Sunday, August 6th of 1989 at 2 p.m. This message came through. And I'm going to continue now. Now, this is both in the words of Jesus as well as Judas Iscariot. I am present, Dharma, that we might press on. I will allow mine brother, Judas Iscariot, to be the speaker. You are not yet familiar with this person, so I shall stand in at all times, Chela, that you have the knowledge of mine presence. At the time of the scrolls, I was not honored with my name of fulfillment, Sananda. That was most recently bestowed upon mine humble self by our Father Creator. There is no way that ye of earth, in thy earthly understanding, can fathom the massive concept of experience being illusion and all being one, and that one being all. We will, at this time, deal with the same basic story handed forth upon you once from that time of of the Christ experience upon your place as the one erroneously labeled Jesus. It is quite all right for the beginning of truth, but you must know that my name was Emmanuel, pronounced as in E, as in Emmanuel. You must also know that my spirit form came from the cosmos, and I was but birthed in your human array. As Judas took great pains to list the begats and begots that you of the testers and doubters could research it yourself, they shall be included. There is no further intrinsic value therein. I shall stand aside and allow my brother to tell the story as in his experience. I shall, from time to time, comment and enlarge upon subject matter and or comment at the conclusion of his portion that ye be brought to conclusion of the particular life stream of myself, so much falsely denigrated. I place mine seal on these portions, Dharma, that ye can write in truth and peace, for as ye ones are in the reading, then shall ye understand. You will make no attempt to interpret, change wordings, nor attempt to understand statements. Yours is to put to paper. Actually, ye shall not be asked to put much in quantity to paper that has not already been scribed at some other place or time, that ye be not jeopardized directly. As the truth comes from comes forth from several places, ye shall be insured protection. I ask herein that Oberle and Reynos make duplicate discs and send back up copies unto Sister T. At some point in thy near future, please make sure she has backup copies of all that will be in safekeeping in multiple places, and give no merit to the striking down of Dharma. Now, at this point, and I'm interrupting here for a commentary, there's a portion on the genealogical tree. And for sake of time and to spare everyone my potential mispronunciation of names, though I think I might be able to get most of them right, I'm going to read the first two introductory paragraphs and then go into just the first generation of the genealogy and the most recent one, bringing it to the point, and that'll be self-explanatory. This is under Genealogical Tree. This is the book and secret records of Emmanuel, which means God with us, God among us, who is a son of Joseph, of Jacob, the distant descendant of David, who was a descendant of Abram, whose lineage goes back to Adam, the father of man of the earth, who was begot by Samjasa, the leader of the Sons of Heaven, who were the guardian angels of God, the great ruler of those who travel from afar. Samjasa, the heavenly son and guardian angel of God, the great ruler of those who travel from far away through the space of the universe, begot with an earth wife, Adam, the father of the white human race. Adam took an earth wife and begot Seth. Now I'm jumping to the last generation referred to here. Jacob begot Joseph. Pregnancy of Mary. Joseph became the spouse of Mary, the mother of Emmanuel, who became pregnant by one who was a distant descendant of the Son of Heaven, Raziel, who was the guardian angel of the secret. When Joseph was in betrothal to Mary to be publicly married, he was informed of the secret insemination of Mary through a descendant of the Sons of Heaven from the lineage of Raziel. He was filled with wrath. He denied her, and yet, having been close unto her and most respectful of her purity from matings, was given to confusion and bewilderment. He made arrangements to take leave of her and denounced any responsibility unto her, and further refused to marry her in public before the peoples of the community, which was the way marriage was ordained and sanctioned in those days. While Joseph was thus thinking in this manner, behold, a guardian angel of the Sons of Heaven, Gabriel, who had brought the seed unto Mary, appeared before him and said, Joseph, Mary is betrothed to you, and you are her spouse. Do not leave of her, for the fruit of her womb is chosen for a great and wondrous purpose. Marry her before the people, so that you may be man and wife before the people. If ye choose to renounce her and deny of thy responsibility, thy name shall be stricken from the book of life, and ye shall be as never having been. The impregnation of Mary occurred some 11,000 earth years after the creation of Adam through the Son of Heaven, Samjasa, so that the word would be fulfilled with which God, the ruler of those that traveled from afar, had said through the prophet Jesaja, who spoke as follows. Behold, an innocent child will be impregnated by a son of heaven before she is married to a man before the people. Name shall be Emmanuel. They will name the fruit of her womb Emmanuel, which interpreted means the God with us, as a symbol and to give honor unto God, through whose strength and providential care the earth was made to bear intelligent human life, through the women of the earth pairing with the sons of heaven, those that traveled from afar and bearing great wisdom and perfection from the universe. Behold, God and his followers from afar came from the depths of the universe, saving themselves from a strong bondage, creating a new race and home with the early women of this earth, for they were in form much like the beauteous creation of earth, and transported great truth and knowledge bonded with unsurpassed wisdom. However, upon birthing into the density of the earth plane, the shroud of forgetfulness would be destined to fall upon the human form. Honor only God and the creation. Honor by the man of earth is due unto God, for behold, he is the true originator of the white or lighted generations of people on earth, and to him honor should be given. There is nothing in equal form besides him, for this human race created by him. Therefore, man shall have no other gods besides him who created other human races in other parts of earth. Besides God, there is nothing in equal form worthy of adoration. Only the omnipotence of creation reigns over him and his celestial sons, the creation itself, which is to be adored. Behold, thus, God reigns over the earth, the Lord of the celestial sons and men of this lighted race. This particular grouping would be pale of countenance, bearing the predominant characteristics of the universal beings which came unto these particular peoples. God is the giver of the law of this human race, and therefore his wishes shall be obeyed by all men and women. God the Lord is generous in his love, but also terrible in his anger when his laws are disobeyed. Thus, Mary's pregnancy is the law of God, so you, Joseph, are to be her spouse in matrimony, for it is so ordained. And thus did the angel Gabriel speak unto Joseph. Birth of Emmanuel. Joseph was very God-fearing, so that when he heard this presented to him from the brilliance of the angel Gabriel, he remembered the laws of God. He brought Mary unto him and married her before the people in the acceptable manner of marriage. It came to be at the same time, Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken of all the world. This was the first census of this kind and occurred at the time that Cyrenius was governor of Syria. It was decreed that each and every one would go to his particular town in order to be counted. Joseph was of Galilee, of the city of Nazareth. Therefore, he went together with his wife Mary into the Jewish land to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, in order to be counted with his wife Mary, who was pregnant and very near her time of delivery. The journey was most difficult for Mary, was in her late days of pregnancy, and the riding on the beast of burden was most painful and tiring. Therefore, most of the journey was afoot on the dusty, foot-worn pathway. Mary had begun her birthing constrictions by the time they had reached the village. There was little time to seek shelter, and efforts at finding quarters were fruitless. They were finally granted permission to rest in a stable where the silage and straw was stored and the animals tended, for Mary could go no farther. Therefore, Mary bore her first wondrous babe on a mat of straw, wrapped him in a receiving cloth she had brought in the event the babe would be brought forth before their return journey, and put him into the cradle of a manger near the cattle, that he be warmed by their bodies while she could rest and recover her strength. For she was most weary, and the babe would need be suckled and nurtured with no place for preparation nor cleansing. Joseph continued to seek housing within the places of travelers, but all the inns were filled. Ones of the mothers of the village brought care and nourishment unto the new mother and showed her how to tend of the infant, for Mary was young and had no knowledge. The kind people brought what they could for comfort unto the parents and child, and took them into their hearts, and gave what they had of meager rations in sharing unto the genteel family. With that, we are going to take a pause. We have come to the conclusion of our first hour here on Evident Footprints, Monday night. And we'll be right back, so don't go away. Welcome back to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And we are in our second hour on November 24th or 25th, depending on the time zone you're in the United States and around the world. I'd like to take a moment here before continuing on with tonight's message and thank just a bevy of people that have been sending me articles, keeping me abreast of what's going on regarding the Barack Obama citizenship issues and a private meeting that's going to take place amongst the justices of the Supreme Court. Evidently, this is not going to be heard in the open and in public. Filburg's lawsuit and the issue of the certificate of live birth, it's a pretty simple thing to figure out. Yet we have tremendous obfuscation going on in Hawaii and in other places. There have been numerous lawsuits filed, as many as 17 around the country, maybe even more now. And we were promised change, and of course we don't have change as far as the usual stream of characters in Washington D.C. Pretty much all the regulars are going to be there. Nothing's changed, and I anticipate that change is going to be for the worse, in a sense. But it's ultimately going to topple upon those that are creating it. And we have been teaching, let's say, concepts of self-empowerment, and this is going to even become clear as I go through this this first issue of information of a spiritual nature that came from the Phoenix Journal back in 1989. It gets very interesting right now, and so I'm going to continue that, but I wanted to acknowledge a few people that have been sending me either messages of gratitude for some of the guests we had on last week. John in Massachusetts, want to acknowledge your email in thanking me for having Joe Church on last Wednesday in our discussion of the sacred frequencies in music. In fact, this teaching eventually takes us to that exact place. It's very, very interesting how much this corresponds with what I know truth to be revealing to us. And even back in those days, 2,000 years ago, in the time of Emmanuel, he certainly was aware that that the politicians were lying, and that we would be deceived here on Earth, and that those are the methods of Satan. He brought that out very early on in this message. And there's an authority, there's a clarity, and it doesn't at all conflict with the underlying precepts of what we know as Christianity. Even the distortions and the chaos that exists within the different denominations shows that there's a truth, there's an underlying truth to this. In fact, the distortions are intended to extract money and to control the people. And there is a almost a seamless connection between politics and religion, in that both are vying for the ultimate control of humanity. The references to the Vatican are quite interesting. The references to the documents that we've discovered, even if this message was from someone else other than Emmanuel, or Jesus as he's known today, the underlying truth here is astounding, and it shouldn't be cast aside without further investigation, let's say. And so I encourage everyone to do some research. I'm going to continue on with this message now under the subtitle of Three Wise Men. As Emmanuel was born in the stable at Bethlehem in the land of the Jews at the time of Herodes Antipas, Tetrarch of Galilee, and Perea, and while Mary lay in recovery of the birthing in the days that followed, behold, there came wise men from the Orient to Jerusalem and spoke, "Where is the newborn King of Wisdom of the Jews? We have seen in the heavens a strong light, and from the light there was a voice which called unto us, each in our separate place, saying, Follow the trail of the light, for the King of Wisdom of the Jews is born and will bring great wisdom unto you. Therefore we have come a great distance, traveling day and night, that we might adore this new child of wisdom, which comes as a promise of hope unto us. For we have come as we are instructed from the heavens, and God provided us with a great orb of light, with a great tail of light that came upon the earth in front of our path, that we could find our way. Therefore we know this is the child which has been promised unto us, for the celestial sons of heaven has told us thus. This is surely a son of the celestial sons of God, for none other could it be. He shall have the wisdom of God, and shall be a son of the celestial son Gabriel. His wisdom shall be boundless, and his power will rule the spirit of men, so that they may learn and serve the creation. When Herod Antipas heard this, he was frightened, and with him all of Jerusalem, for they were afraid that the newborn child might hold and then exercise cruel power. Therefore Herod Antipas called together all the high priests and scribes among the people and demanded to know of them where this Emmanuel was to be born. They responded to him, saying, In Bethlehem, in the Jewish land, for thus it is written by the prophet Micah, And you, in the Jewish land, Bethlehem, are by no means the least amongst the towns in Judea, for out of you shall come the King of Wisdom, who shall bring great knowledge to the people of Israel, so that they may learn about and serve the creation. Thereupon Herod Antipas called the wise men secretly and diligently inquired of them. When the strong light with the long tail had appeared in the sky, then he sent them out to Bethlehem, saying, Go out and search diligently for the young child, and when you find him, let me be informed that I can come and also revere him. When they had heard Herod Antipas, they set out, and behold, the light with the tail of light, which they had also seen in the Orient, went ahead of them. And there was singing until the light came, and stood directly above the stable in which the young child was birthed in Bethlehem. And when they saw this, they were extremely filled with joy. They went into the stable and found the child with his mother Mary and Joseph the father. They fell down and worshipped him, and also delivered treasures which they had brought with them of incense, myrrh, and gold. At this time there again sounded the voice from the light above, saying that they should not return to Herod Antipas, because he planned evil for the child. So they returned to their country by another route, fleeing from Herod. When the wise men had departed, behold, the celestial son Gabriel appeared to Joseph, saying, Rise, and take the young child and his mother Mary with you, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I shall tell you, for Herod Antipas is planning to seek out the young child to kill him. He fears that the young child might wield terrible power and sorcery. While you are in Egypt, I will send my messenger to Herod Antipas to inform him of the truth. Joseph rose and took the young child and his mother at night, and they escaped under the guidance of the celestial son, Gabriel, towards the descending light, which fled along with them into Egypt. They found safety and shelter and remained there until Herod Antipas had been given information which changed his heart and his fear was abated. As it came to pass, Herod Antipas saw that he had nothing to fear from the young boy and that he was only said to be endowed with great wisdom and knowledge. He ceased to feel threatened in his realm, and he said to the messenger of the celestial son Gabriel that Mary, Joseph, and Emmanuel would no longer be pursued, nor would they be in further danger. At this change of events, Gabriel came again to Joseph, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother Mary, and move to the land of Israel, although who wanted to harm the child will now leave the babe unharmed." Joseph rose and took the child and his wife Mary and returned to the light that had again appeared and which had led them into Israel. The celestial son Gabriel brought them back into Galilee, where they lived in the city named Nazareth, so that what had been said by the prophet would be fulfilled: "The Nazarene shall be called Emmanuel." Dharma, it has been a long day, so let us leave this until the morrow. We shall take it bit by bit, that ye not become overladen. Go to thy place of quiet rest, for I am with you in love and peace. So be it that mine seal is placed upon these writings. Blessed unto ye ones, I am Sananda Emmanuel. Chapter 2, Iscariot, Emmanuel Sananda, Monday, August 7th, 1989, 7 a.m., Year 2, Day 356. I am present, Dharma. Let us continue with our writings. I will relinquish to Judas Iscariot that ye might have translation of the words of the scrolls. You ones must recall that in any given experience, the circumstance existing at the time is of utmost importance to keep in thy minds. It is easy to look back and see how it could have or would have been different. It is the story told and happening at the time that is important in this circumstance, for such erroneous tales have been told and exaggerated through time passage. Think. If your newspapers can mix up two names in an interview on thy front page, what of 2,000 years ago, as word went by camel caravan, caravan by gossip? We come now to set the record to right. Too much damage has been done unto ones in my name, and shall stop, for you ones are being destroyed by evil. Thine own media presentations are completely filled with the stories, and ye only get perhaps 1/1,000th of any news about thy globe. Further, that comes from pre-selected stories or versions thereof, cleared by a central news service. Do ye actually think it would be headline news were I to walk with Sister Eleanor every 30 minutes in full embodiment? Of course not. So come out of thy fantasy world of silly dreams and let us get on with truth. Let us put the basically incorrect myths to rest with the truth in brief format that you are prepared to enjoy and learn from thy brothers of the cosmos who will come forth soon to assist you, who have petitioned unto me and our Father for assistance. Ye of earth have asked in prayerful searching for help in thy time of violence and moral decay. Ye shall have it. How did you perceive it would come? Really think about it. How did you think it would come forth? Yet no longer have the ability nor the facilities upon earth to reverse of it. So, how did you believe it would come to you? So be it. I stand aside to monitor Dharma that you and Judas might script. Blessings upon the word. John the Baptist. Let us speak firstly of the one in thy book referred to as John the Baptist. None knew then, nor now, from whence came the one, John the Baptist, for he was brought there to prepare the way for the young Emmanuel, who would achieve his mastery. The whole land was laid throughout with evil persecution. Beloved friends who read of the words this day of your year 1989 can have no conception. I should say, who read of the words this day. Ye look upon thy picture Christmas cards and see whatever ye wish to see. It was a sordid and cruel time in the world at the coming of the Christos Master. Ye can find of good in little pockets of existence in any time format in history. Ah, but back to the scrolls. The next few years of young Emmanuel were spent in and about Nazareth, while he grew in his physical way with his family, which also grew in number during those years. I will effort at keeping to the facts in point of discussion, however, so will not at this time enlarge upon other than effect of circumstances which related directly to Emmanuel in a major magnitude that differs to great degree from what ye have been told. At that time there came one John the Baptist, who went about the country teaching and preaching. He preached mostly in gatherings along the banks of the Jordan River at the edge of the desert. No one knew from where he had come nor when he had arrived. He did, however, begin to draw rather large crowds, for he preached the baptism according to the old laws of God in the way according to which the path to knowledge was to be prepared, and he preached that the laws had to be followed because he, God, was the only ruler for the human race, but that above God was the creation, creator of the worlds, the universes, and all things alive. He also preached that all things are alive. He told that the creation is without gender, neither male nor female, was the secret of all secrets, death and life, the light and darkness, being and non-existence, and that God the Lord, the ruler of his human race, and those who traveled from afar, the celestial sons, hold the creation in most high esteem, above all other or all else. All over Judea, and the people of Jerusalem went to John, acknowledging the ancient laws of God, and allowed themselves to be baptized by him in the river Jordan. John told them it was not the ritual itself that made any difference, but only that it represented cleansing and acceptance. It washed the darkened energies from the auric field around the body that the positive energy field of light could establish itself. Water changes electrical patterns, brethren. Ye must keep this uppermost in thy scientific activities. John came forth as a most simple being who wore a simple robe of woven camel hair and clutched it with a belt of camel leather about his loins. His food was also simple, for he ate little other than wild honey and locusts. He explained to the people that as the locust was converted to a most worthy food supply, he explained to the people as the locust did feed on the crops, grain crops, the substance taken within the locust was converted to a most worthy food supply. He showed them that the locust did not need represent a destructive pest, but rather a food supply of great value which converted a simple foodstuff into a body-sustaining whole food. He further told them that the honey gathered from the wild bees gave energy upon which the body could instantly draw strength. As the wild bees gathered the dust from the wild plants, they brought forth a variety of worthy food supply into the honey. Further, the unused dust brought forth into the hive was also a most wondrous food supplement. As always is the case in history, man takes that which pleases him and discards that which he despises. Were man to come to balance and partake of the pests which abound, ye would not be plagued by famine and starvation. Ponder it, brethren. As John anointed by immersion in the river many of the people, there also came many Pharisees and Sadducees, to him, taunting and ridiculing him with malicious shoutings and speeches. But John spoke, "You breed of vipers, who told you that you could escape from the future wrath once your false teaching is recognized? Watch and bring forth fruit of repentance and teach the truth. Turn from the evil of your own false teaching done with arrogance and from the motives of power and profit. Do not think that you will say amongst each other, 'We have Abram as a father.' I tell you, with his knowledge and power, God is able to turn these stones into children because he knows the secret of the creation. The axe has already been laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, the tree which bringeth forth bad fruit will be hewn down and thrown into the fire. You breed of vipers, in 2,000 years you and your descendants who teach falsely, serving your own pride from the motives of power and profit, shall be punished and destroyed because of your lies. When the human race begins to know and separates the wheat from the chaff, when your false teachings are laughed at and the human race finds the truth, when the human race builds singing lights and fire machines which fly in the skies and beyond, and within which the human can ride forth into space and beyond, as is done by God and his following, the celestial sons, who teach us wisdom and the knowledge of the creation, who urge us to obey the law of nature and live in accordance and in balance with it, then shall ye reap the rewards and harvest of thine lies and evil works ye have thrust upon these beloved peoples. Get away from this place, ye faithless breed of vipers, get away from this place, for ye are impure and cursed in your false teachings. Get away from this place, for I can, by my own accord, baptize you to repentance with only water. But he who comes after me is stronger than I, and I am not worthy to take off his shoes. He will baptize you with the knowledge of the Spirit and with the fire of truth. He will come forth with a shovel in hand, and he will sweep his threshing floor and gather the wheat in his warehouse. But he will burn the chaff with the fire that cannot be extinguished. For the lie can never resist truth, which destroys evil in its fire. He will come forth times two, for his first coming will be for his own lessons, that he shall be able to pass his initiations and come into his full inheritance. And then he shall come, and all these evil things shall be banished from this land. Baptism of Emmanuel. Upon one occasion, as John was preaching to the gathered crowd, and the mockers were particularly degrading, behold, young Emmanuel from Galilee came to the river Jordan. He went forth to John and asked John to anoint him in baptism. But John refused and spoke, "I need to be baptized by you, for you are of far greater wisdom than I, and you come to me?" Emmanuel answered and spoke, "Let it happen thus for now, for it is up to us to fulfill all justice, to act in earth's circumstance, since we are both sons of the earth." Thusly, the two spoke with God between themselves and counseled guidance, and so John consented and did baptize Emmanuel. And they embraced as friends of long duration and exchanged words which could not be understood nor interpreted by those who gathered at the river. 40 days with higher beings. After Emmanuel was baptized, he soon emerged from the water of the river Jordan, and as he climbed forth upon the river shoal, a great excitement passed through the crowd gathered there. For witness thusly, a metallic light fell from the sky and dropped over the river Jordan. The people all fell on their faces and pressed them into the sand of the river shore, and some jumped into the river itself, for they were terrified and frozen in fear. But a voice spoke out of the metallic light, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He will be the King of truth and teacher of wisdom, and who shall lift this human race to knowledge." After the voice was silent, Emmanuel turned to the crowd and told them to be at peace and fear not. He placed his blessings upon those gathered, and the panic and fear was abated. He then turned and entered into the metallic light, which appeared to be surrounded by fire and smoke, but gave forth no terrible heat which burned the skin. However, all kept a distance from the light, save Emmanuel, who had walked forth and entered therein. After he entered into the light through an opening, the opening was sealed closed, and the light ascended into the sky, glided across the lifeless sea of air, and the singing of the metallic light soon became silent. After that, Emmanuel was no longer seen nor heard upon the land for 40 days and nights. During the ensuing period of time, Emmanuel no longer lived among the people of the human race of the earth. Actually, he never again lived in the fullness of human density from that very day forward, for he was somehow made different from the human creation with whom he was to experience. The next portion was laid forth in words from the Master himself, and in fact, ye of the small group circle have shared his telling of the secret. I shall retell of it here, that this document be in completion as a unit record of sequence. However, I shall cover it only briefly, for the Master Emmanuel wishes to cover this experience in more detail at a later time sequence. I shall relate it exactly as the scrolls can be translated. After Emmanuel was lifted up from the earth, and when this happened, no one knew where he had been taken. Emmanuel was off by the metallic lighted object between north and west, where the guardian angels had received cords with which to measure the place for the chosen ones. Thus, he lived for 40 days and 39 nights between the winds of the north and the west, where he received the secret of wisdom. Meanwhile, he spent his days with the wise saints and God and the guardian angels, the celestial sons, who taught him the knowledge of the wisdom, the dominion of God over this human race, and his celestial sons, the omnipotence of the creation of the universes, and the immortality of the spirit throughout through rebirth. There he saw the forefathers, the saints of ancient times, who were the fathers of the human race, the celestial sons. From there he went north along the ends of the earth, where the metallic lights and fire vehicles fell out of the sky, or streaked through the skies, or with singing covered with smoke and fire, soared into the spaces, and then sometimes sat silently above the lands in silent, motionless cloud forms when near unto the land masses. Three portals. There, at the ends of the entire earth, he saw a great and marvelous wonder. Here he saw the doors of heaven open. There were three of these doors which were opened unto him that he might see within. As big as the area of the lifeless sea near the river Jordan did the heavenly doors radiate in its brightest Sohar. Radiating therein, the entire land of Israel was alive and true, man and animal and everything that was there. Inside this first heavenly door, there was no hidden secret, for Sohar entered the smallest spaces of the cottages and revealed the last to be known. Inside the second heavenly gateway, there arose mighty mountains whose tops reached into the sky and disappeared into the clouds. Huge masses of deep snow were flying down at the foot of the mountains, and at the edge thereof, another human race with brown skin built their dwellings. The third heavenly portal revealed a land of huge dimensions, mountainous land with rivers, lakes, and oceans. Again, therein lived another human race. Not far from these three heavenly portals was the palace of God, the ruler of these human races, and those who had traveled from afar, the celestial sons and the guardian angels. In his palace, God ruled over the three human races created by him, and over his following, the celestial sons. He was immortal and ancient and the size of a great giant, like unto the celestial sons. Sacred teachings. Within this palace of God, there appeared to Emmanuel two very tall men, the likes of whom he had never before seen on earth. Their faces radiated like the sun, their eyes seemed like burning torches, and fire seemed to come from their mouths. Their clothing resembled a layer of foam, and their arms were like unto golden wings. They lived in their own world, for the world of humankind had killed them. These two men from the constellations of the Seven Sisters were sacred teachers and were together with two smaller men who said they were men from Baal. They said, people have come from heaven to earth, and other people have been lifted from earth into heaven. The people that had come from heaven remained on earth for a long time and created the intelligent human race. Behold, men created by the celestial suns were very different in their own way from the other people of the earth. They were not like man of earth, but similar to the children of the angels of heaven, a different kind. Their body was white and pale, as likened to snow, and red in the within as the rosebud. Their hair was white as wool, and their eyes most beautiful. The human races shall keep their inherited beauty and keep on creating it. But in the course of centuries and millennia, they shall mix with other human races of the earth and heavens in order to create with the earth people new human races and special races such as the celestial suns. The wisdom of a celestial sun. Emmanuel, you are of wisdom created from amongst us of a celestial sun. With your wisdom, you will make the impossible possible and perform acts considered to be miracles by the human races. You know the power of spirit, but beware, do not abuse it. Your wisdom, which you receive through us, will serve the well-being of the human races, but the way leading thereto will be very difficult for them and for you. You will not be recognized for that which you are, and you will be renounced, for the human races are ignorant and filled with superstition and false teachers. The human races believe that God is the creation itself and not the ruler of the celestial suns and these human races. The people of the earth attribute to him the omnipotence of the creation and glorify his as the creation itself. However, God is like unto man, like all the celestial suns and the human races, except he is spiritually infinitely more developed than they, more than they any human creation or celestial sun. Heed not false teachings. You too, Emmanuel, they will insult as God and his inborn son, and you too will be made equal in their ignorance to the creation. You will be in the telling of them that they too can be as you, but they will not be in understanding and persecute you for your generosity of truth. Do not heed these false teachings, because millennia will pass before the people of the human races from the earth will be able to recognize the truth. This will be for several reasons, one of which is that you must grow through thy initiations unto the godly status whereby ye shall be given thy name and full inheritance. Great floods of human blood shall be shed on your account, your blood as well as that of uncounted generations of human ones. Nonetheless, fulfill your mission as the King of Wisdom, as the Son of Gabriel, the Celestial Son, for it is ordained from thy God, the One of total light and wisdom, the Infinite One. In the name of God, the law was issued to create you so that you may serve as prophet and forerunner of wisdom to this human race and unto all new human races to come forth upon the earth lands. Fulfill your mission without annoyance and do not allow for antagonization, for it will be great testing that you will endure. You will be unperturbed by opposition to all lack of reason and all false teachings of the scribes and Pharisees, as well as against the incredulous people. You must always perform in balance and remain in inner wisdom and harmony, for yours will be an example for the evolutions to come upon the human races. Ye shall be given to grow beyond the wisdom of all human races and become one with God, that ye will fulfill thy ultimate mission within the realms of human. Upon your fulfillment of your mission, centuries and 2 millennia shall have passed before the truth of your wisdom is brought forth amongst the people and shall be recognized and spread by some ones of the people of the human races. These appointed and consecrated ones shall have also been trained and taught by the celestial sons in the realms of God. They shall be daring and dedicated above all others, that their missions also be fulfilled in perfection and the proper sequence of time proportions. Not before the time when machines project themselves into the sky of the human will truth break through, and false teachings will slowly become most unstable and shaky, namely that you are the Son of God or the creation, for you will be recognized as the Son of celestial sons and will become one with God and within the creation. Now, I pause here just to allow us, and I include myself along with the listening audience, to ponder some of these things. And I will, the next time I continue with this reading, I will continue with the description of the celestial sons and also the disciples. I do have time to read that, yet if I read that right now, I might limit the amount of time left to draw some parallels. So what does all this mean? Well, we have definitely a description of the birth of who we know as Jesus Christ, or Jesu Emmanuel, as he calls himself, and he has been given the fulfillment of his purpose, and not just here on earth, but throughout the universe, and has now taken the name Sananda. He's not discarded his first name, but he's been given a third name, which is a completion. Now that, considering that, and weighing that against what we have been taught, all the unanswered questions about the Bible, all the unanswered questions about what is missing from the Bible, and the apparent conflicts in accounts between the various editions of the Bible. Some say that the newer editions have more to do with bringing clarity to the meaning of the words, where personally I find that there's more confusion brought about, and in many cases the words are brought up into modern times to mean something totally different from what they meant in the original Greek or in the Hebrew. And Jesus also makes some declarations here that are, or I should say Emmanuel, make some declarations that are definitely supported by other writings that have come out. And I would have to say writings that that show no chicanery or no ulterior motive other than to bring the truth out. Some of these are quite old writings, over 100 years old. Now, compared to what was written 2,000 years ago, even in the words of Jesus saying that these, many of the stories that were told were not based upon the truth, but they were lies that were intended to deceive us and create a cult or to create a religion. And this has always been my argument about those that insist that the church was was spawned by Jesus, that Jesus asked us to start a church. He never once asked anyone to worship him. Never. He did say, follow me or follow my ways. He stressed that perfection, there was nothing wrong with perfection or nothing wrong with striving to be perfect. And in fact, by merely following God's laws and adhering to them, we could become perfect. But he had never once asked anyone to start a religion based on his teachings. Those were inventions of man, and they were distorted and perverted many times. And if you just look at these writings in the context of what is occurring today, even if this information came out in 1989, it's taking into account exactly what is going on in these times, right now. What does that cause us to do? If we reflect on these thoughts and we see truth here, then both in the description of the evil that had been perpetrated even 2,000 years ago, or even back to the days of Adam, then we have a responsibility to recognize this truth and to act accordingly. And so that takes us into the context of what we've talked about on Evident Footprints during the last 2 weeks. I had many people thank me personally and ask me to extend their appreciation to many of the guests who were kind and willing enough to follow through with those teachings, where we talk about the things that we can do in answer to the many questions that I received. What can I do? I see the truth. You're leading us to the truth. We know the world is messed up. We know it's chaotic. We know we're being lied to. What can we do? Or what can I do is actually a good question, because it begins with each one of us. It's interesting that this teaching that I just read is so profound, and it takes the individual as well as the collective group to hand. In other words, it's not denying our relationship with each other, and there's even a reference that all things are alive, that rocks can be made to talk. And there are such references in the Bible as such. Jesus talked of the time that when the rocks would be speaking. And in a way that mankind can understand what is being said. There were references in the passage to speaking in tongues. No one could understand what John the Baptist and Esau Emmanuel were saying to one another, yet it's clearly a reference to speaking in tongues. There are drawings in ancient, digs, that archaeologists have found where they have gone, and this is not just in Egypt, it's in South America, in Central America, in the United States, in Russia, in Europe, all over the planet. There are ancient digs that show that there were extraterrestrial spacecraft, and there is literally an extraterrestrial reference in this message, as well as the lights that were followed. The metallic light, the craft, the beings described as coming from the seven sisters are the Pleiades. So there is acknowledgement of what is going on in space, far beyond what has been given to us in the Bible. These happenings are so couched in dogma in the scriptures that one really has to read into it for double or triple meaning. And it's a sign of what today is called Hegelian dialectic. Problem, reaction, solution. And it is the method the very people being described 2,000 years ago as being enemies of Ezu Emmanuel are the same people today which are wreaking havoc in the banking system, in the energy arena, whether it's oil or any of the other mineral assets that can be used to produce energy. And yet it's talking about higher powers, talking about being lifted up by this light. We don't have that description anywhere in the Bible, like here. Now, one could say, well, that doesn't make this true. And yet, it's describing this missing time of 40 days, actually, and 39 nights, which is suggesting that that the return happened during the day. Maybe it happened at night in that extra, that 40 day. No, it would be more like the return was at night. Maybe so everyone could see this. But it's not just a light being described. It's being described as a metallic light, as if that is a spaceship lit up. And those of you who have seen a saucer or any kind of extraterrestrial craft have seen one glowing or lit up, because they do appear in the sky as such, especially at night. They can in the daytime as well under certain conditions. So this is really a stretch of the imagination, and yet it has a predominant ring of truth to it. And where would that bring someone who has exclusively followed the Bible? Where would it bring someone, and I ask that in terms of a 1611 Bible or the current Good News Bible today that was maybe published by Nelson Bible or one of the modern-day Bible publishers. Some people say, well, you know, if your Bible doesn't have a concordance, it's not a genuine Bible. Yet that was an invention of man. Now, one could say that God inspired others to put the concordance in there, but we're also told that no scripture is of private interpretation. That it's not to be used for a particular purpose that dishonors the word. And Jesus himself, in this passage, that the last one that I read, was warned not to misuse this information. He was warned to maintain his integrity, that it was of a very high vibration, and that it was going to raise the consciousness of man. This is exactly the reason why he came, and it's exactly the opposite of what's going on today. Absolutely the opposite. I have spoken about consciousness and the lowering, the intentional lowering of the vibration of mankind. And how is that accomplished? Through the lies, through the falsehoods, through the misrepresentations, through the religious dogma, and through the cults. Now, why would he refer to organized religion as cults, other than that they were following whoever was leading that particular group? And that's what goes on today. Look at the ministries that you have on television. And there are more and more all the time. People are coming out of the woodwork. People that no one ever heard of all of a sudden are leading congregations of 10,000 people in huge arenas and traveling around the world speaking to people. And I'm not saying that that's not a beneficial thing if they're teaching God's word, but they're following the men and the women in these groups more than anything else. And these people portray themselves to be saints. They're the middlemen between you and the creator or the creation, and they're buying jets, and they're getting their divorces, and they're spending their money on grocery carts full of makeup, and buying jewels, and engaging in homosexual acts, despite their proclamations that they're against it. I'm not condemning the homosexuals. There are enough people out there doing that. I'll leave that to them. But it goes beyond homosexuality, and it goes into the abduction of children, the kidnapping of children, the selling of children into the sex slave industry on a worldwide basis, pedophilia, pornography, and then these perverted sacrifices that go on. When we get into the deeper spiritual truths and who's behind all this, it's interesting that this description, this account of truth, if it is true, it's interesting how this also allows now for the possibility of life on other planets, and it's describing life on other planets. Clearly, another life form in the Pleiades is described. We have this from Billy Meyer. We have this from Dr. George Green, who was on Evident Footprints a couple of months ago. I've been on it several times, actually. And he referred to Billy Meyer and his own communication with these same people. We have numerous accounts of craft seen all over the world, and many of them belong to us now, but where did we get these ideas? Where did we get these craft? They're describing the same phenomenon here, telling us also that we're not getting the truth about our science and our connection to water, and that water actually has a way of neutralizing certain electrical impulses, as if to imply water might be a defense mechanism against HARP or other technologies being used against people for mind control. You see, everything that we are taught from past experience is always taught to us in the sense that it was that way and we can't change it and we can't do anything about it, and therefore that's what is, and that's all that is, and that nothing else can be possible. And we're being told the same thing in current events today about the banking system, or about food supplies, or about pollution on the planet, or energy resources. We're lied to consistently at every corner and every step of the path. Outright lies. And I stress discernment. By the way, I did predict last week that Citibank was going to be the next bank to go down, and now they're talking about Citibank going down. It's now being called the second wealthiest of the banks. Keep in mind, these banks are holding trillions of dollars illegally that's being stolen by the same people that are perpetrating this fraud on us, this hoax in the derivatives hedge fund markets. But that corrupt system has to fall anyway. The issue here is not whether or not we should allow it to fall, but its failure should not, or the burden of the failure should not be put on the average human being that's not even participating in these scams. These people have to be held accountable. And that is promised in these passages that I read. It's clearly prophesied and promised that that will be the case. And that these people will be cast into a bottomless pit. Payback, sounds like to me. They will be given a lower frequency than they can imagine, if that is the case. And this is leading into the concept, we're not there yet, but it's leading into a higher state of consciousness on planet Earth, and that we must become responsible for taking care of planet Earth. We must be responsible for taking care of each other, and coming to some realization about life, why we're here, and where we're headed. And you're not going to find that on television. You're not going to find that in the movies. You're not going to find it on some program. You're not going to find it in a stadium someplace, watching a sporting event. You're not going to find it in idol worship. We definitely have some means of educating ourselves, imparting knowledge, which can be transmuted into spiritual knowledge and experience. We can consciously raise our own individual vibrations, which in turn will cause us to assist each other in that. So I ask you, with Thanksgiving approaching in a few days, to give some thanks to God, not just on that day, but thank God for this opportunity that we have to make a leap in consciousness and a leap in faith. It's time we bring God back into our everyday lives and acknowledge what a wonderful gift we've been given to be alive at this time and to finally learn the truth. That's what this is about. I'm not asking anyone to believe what I read, yet I say that there's an underlying current of truth that's unmistakable. And if God himself came down here and taught this lesson, what would you say to him? Would you argue with him? And I'm not by any means equating myself with God. I'm just saying if God came down and taught us the truth one-on-one, would you tell him, well, I didn't see that in the Bible, therefore I don't believe you're God, or I don't believe you're telling me the truth? Are we going to ever wake up? That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank you for listening in. I hope you found this interesting or enlightening. And I hope that we can all make some use of this information. If we discern that it's true, we have a lot to look forward to. And things aren't as bleak as they may appear on the surface. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Special thanks to Don Newsom for making this show possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. And most of all, I'd like to thank the listening audience for tuning in. Tune in again tomorrow night, same time, same place. In the meantime, have a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.